What's going on, Christchurch family and friends? Welcome to our online experience. Thank you guys for taking the time to hang out with us, to worship with us. It's an honor and a privilege to serve you guys on a weekly basis. My name is Jovan. I'm the student pastor here at Christchurch. Speaking of our students, man, they are hungry and they are excited to get back with one another again. It's been a while and they're like, listen, when are we doing this? Guess what? We're going to be thinking of those days. Those dates are going to be coming up very, very soon. We're going to be reuniting our students and our leaders. We're going to be back worshiping with one another. Be on the lookout for those dates. Hey guys, thank you for your generosity. Man, I can't tell you how grateful I am to be a part of a church that serves the way that you guys do. It's because of your generosity, we are able to bless. We are able to do the things God has called us to do in the season that we are currently in. There are two ways to give. You can either give through our Christchurch Ohio app, or you can give through our ChristchurchOhio.org. That is our website. You can give in that type of way. Guys, we're about to jump right into the worship experience. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you guys very, very soon.
Good morning, church family. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Psalm 23 says this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the great shepherd. Father, we pray now that you would lead us in this time. Father, I pray for all the struggles, all the difficulties that are going on in our world, Father. And we pray that just at this moment, we could come to you and we could be led by you. Father, for those who are struggling, who are going through hardship, Lord, we pray that you would comfort them. You would restore their soul. You would lead them beside still waters. Father, we pray that we could experience the goodness and mercy that you have to offer us, that it could just fill our lives, and it could meet us in our time of need. And Father, we pray today that as we look at these incredible words that you spoke, we pray that they would impact us, that they would resonate as true. And Father, we would look to you as our shepherd to lead us and guide us during these times. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. And today we are starting a brand new sermon series. And if this is your first time tuning in with us, you picked a perfect weekend to do it because you get to start right at the beginning of this new sermon that we're going to be in. And it's called Better Days, and it's going to be based on John chapter 10. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at this because I think many of us, we are longing for better days, each in our own way. And as I was thinking about this, I was remembering when I was a kid and my dad brought home a brand new Nintendo. And I was pretty young and me and my brother were so excited to play it. We never had anything like this and we had an absolute blast. And as I got a little bit older, I got some new games. Here's some of my all-time favorite Nintendo games. Contra. The best Nintendo game of all time. Paperboy. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Those were amazing games. And I've seen today that now for like $50, you can buy one of these with like every game on it. And these kids do not know how good they have it. But one of the most interesting things about Nintendo is if you played it growing up, you knew that once the game started to glitch or it wasn't working right and the screen would get all messed up, you could just hit this button right there and everything would go back to the way it should be. You just hit reset. You might have to hit it 5 or 6 times, but usually eventually it would work. And if that wouldn't work, you could then pull out the game and you could just do one of these, clean it out. I love the old t-shirt trick. You know, you put it in there and then you clean it out. And many times then everything would get back to working the way it should. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's how I feel about 2020. I wish we could all just kind of go and just hit that button right there. And everything would reset. And it would be the way that it should be. Everything that's messed up would get fixed. All the glitches and brokenness in our world would be repaired. And we could just all start fresh. But unfortunately, 2020 doesn't have a reset button, because life just doesn't work that way. But we're going to look at the words of Jesus that are going to give us hope. We don't have a reset button, but we still can find a way towards better days. And if you're watching today and maybe your heart is broken because of the events in our world, maybe you're looking at the future and you just feel scared because it feels like, what's next? What else is coming? Maybe just the weight of all this is weighing on us. Then I want to encourage you today, if you're looking and hoping for better days, I think there is a way. And Jesus shows it to us. And so I want to read to you John chapter 10. And this is a time where Jesus had been talking to his followers, to his disciples. And he told them very clearly, he said, hey, I am the good shepherd. And that would have been an image that they were familiar with, because that was a very popular vocation. Shepherds would go and they would take sheep and they would roam the countryside and get everything that they needed. And shepherds would protect them. They would lead them. They would guide them. They would just ensure they had everything they needed to be healthy and to thrive. And Jesus said to them, I am that to you. And then in that same moment, he goes on and he explains it even more. Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And here you have to imagine in your mind just kind of a pen. And Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the entrance for you to come in and to be safe and to be protected. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and go out and find pasture. And notice what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, do you want better days? Do you want a different life? Do you want a different experience of life? Jesus says, then you have to come through me. It's with me. It's by me. It's to me that you will experience that. He says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that they right here is you and me. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and you may have life abundantly. Or a more literal translation is that you might have overflowing life. In other words, better days. I've come to give you something better than the world has to offer. Something better than what you can create for yourself. Something better than what you see out there. But it has to come through me. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today, church, is that you and I, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what your connection is to Jesus today, maybe you have no connection at all. And if that's you, I'm so glad that you're tuning in, because I think this is going to be really helpful for you. But wherever you're at, each of us can have better days through Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in our world or what doesn't happen, we can still experience something better through Jesus Christ, the one who has come to give you and me life and life abundantly. And I want to talk about that. So Jesus first gives us this image. He says, I am the door. I am the pathway. That through me, you can have a different experience. And let me just elaborate on this a little bit. What is he? Some of the things that he's talking about here? Well, I think he means first that through him, he is the door to forgiveness. Part of better days is dealing with our past. is dealing with our junk. It's hard to have better days when you are loaded down with guilt and regret. Can I get a solid Southern amen on that? Just kind of type it away. It's hard to do it. But through Christ, we can experience the forgiveness of God, but only through Jesus Christ. He is the pathway to all your mistakes and my mistakes being wiped away and us being able to stand before God without guilt, without shame, without fear of judgment, because we know Christ has opened up a better way for us. He's the door to forgiveness. He's the door to unconditional love. We all need to be loved unconditionally. We all need someone in our life who can just accept us as we are in our brokenness, warts and all, in our imperfections. We need someone who can see us exactly as we are, where we're not hiding anything, and yet accept us fully. And Jesus is the door to that. Through Jesus, you and I are loved unconditionally with by God. And nothing can change it. Nothing can take it away. He's the door to redemption. The things that are messed up in us, Christ can redeem. The pain of our past, the wounds of our past, the failures of our past, the crisis in our present, the struggles in our present, the battles right before us, all that was meant for evil in your life and in my life, Christ can turn and make something good out of it. He is the ultimate redeemer, and he brings that into your life and my life. He brings purpose. You were created by God. And through Jesus Christ, we can understand and we can connect to a purpose that is bigger than this world, that's bigger than buying nice stuff, that's bigger than having a big bank account, that's better than being Instagram famous, that's better than being a celebrity or having all kinds of success. He connects us to a purpose that is eternal, that is bigger than this world, and that makes your soul and my soul come alive. Jesus is the door to peace, brotherly love, and thriving relationships. There are serious problems in our country right now. There's hate, there's anger, there's violence. And these are problems. And I believe the ultimate solution, I believe is not political, but it's spiritual. Now, maybe there's other elements to it. I won't argue with you about that. But at the deepest core, the problem in our world is the evil of the human heart. And until Christ can address that and deal with that, there will never be a full pathway to peace, to love, and to thriving relationships. Christ empowers us. Through him, we can treat each other differently and create a far better world. He is the door to God's resources for help. In Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, you have all the resources of heaven to help you and to help me. Through Christ, we are promised that our prayers are heard, that God's heart is bent towards us, that he who gave his own son will not spare any good thing from us. And we have the confidence and the knowledge that everything God has, he has to help us and to bless us and to guide us. And Christ ultimately is the door to a new life. Today, if you're watching and you long for a new life, you long to be different, long to live different, maybe you long to treat people different, but you just can't get outside of yourself. I want you to know there's hope today. Jesus Christ is the door to a new life. Through him, we can be different, and we can continue to become different. So that's the first thing I want you to see. But then Jesus also tells us something very important in this passage. He says, I've come as a door, as a good shepherd, to give you these things, but there is a thief out there who is trying to undercut all this work. And Jesus says we have to guard ourselves against an enemy who is trying to steal, kill, and destroy work of God in us. And church, what I want you to know is that Christ has come to give you these things, and that in Christ and with Christ and through Christ are these things. But here's what makes it difficult, is that there is another power at work that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy the work of God in you and in me. That whether we realize it or not, we all are engaged in a spiritual battle. And it's going on all around us. We can't see it. We don't understand everything about it. But it's happening, and we need to be aware of it and prepared for it. Ephesians 6:12, the great apostle Paul, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The real problems in this world have a spiritual center to them. It's not people that we need to fight, but it's the darkness of the human heart. Paul says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is the thief that Jesus is talking about. That as he has come to bring life, there's another that is always trying to come and to take life away from you and me. There's a spiritual insurgency targeting the development and health of our souls. And what an insurgency means is that it's a different style of war. It's not a nice and clean war where you have one side and they all dress in the same uniform and look the same way, and then you have another side that's dressed in their uniform and they all look the same way, and it's completely obvious who's on what side and what's taking place. An insurgency is a much more confusing picture. It's where the enemy hides among the good people. And you can't always tell them apart from who's good and who's the enemy. And they work to undercut everything, and they're more subtle. They don't always just come out to your face, but they'll come through the back door. And what Jesus is saying is that we have to guard against the thief who's going to sneak into our lives and misdirect us and rob us and destroy the good work that God wants to do in us. So let me just show you quickly how to fight against it. 1 Peter 5:6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, or in Jesus' words, the thief, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But when you hear this, I don't want you to picture a scary movie in your mind, because the path of evil and the tricks of evil are far more subtle than this. What Jesus is telling us here is that we don't have to look under our bed because something's going to jump out and scare us. But the way evil works is it works by indulging our pride. It works by allowing prejudice and bias to continue in our heart. It works by saying, making us hate one another and want to harm one another and want to destroy one another. It works by challenging us and encouraging us and fanning the flames to just say, keep putting yourself first. Keep putting yourself first. That's the real power and the real work of evil. That's what the devil prowls around doing, seeking someone to devour. But Peter says this, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So here's what Peter is telling us. How do we fight a spiritual battle? Which I'm saying is the most important battle, which Jesus is saying we have to be aware of, we have to be prepared for, and we have to guard against. How do we do it? Well, here's how we do it. Number one, we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's where we begin. We say, God, we need you. And church, I think the best thing that we can do as a nation right now is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to ask God to be glorified in the midst of this. We need to say, God, your will be done, not mine. We need to say, God, we need your guidance. It's too big. This is too complicated. It's too easy for us to veer off course. And we need to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. Because where evil gains traction is where pride and ego rise to the top. Second, we cast our anxieties on God. I know maybe that there are fears, there are worries in your life and in mine. And instead of letting those fears drive us into unhealthy action or into dangerous mindsets or into just despair and discouragement, we fight the spiritual battle by saying, no, I am going to cast my worries on God, and I know that he cares for me. I know that he hears. Whatever you're worried about today, I know those worries are real, but I know there is a greater truth that God hears, that God cares, and that he's working for your good and my good. We keep our mind clear and alert. Peter says, be watchful. Be sober-minded. Keep checking your heart. Keep looking in the mirror and saying, am I honoring God here? Am I following him? Am I doing what he's asking me to do? And don't let your mind get foggy and confused. But stay alert. Stay clear. We resist the pull, intimidation, and influence of evil. We fight that inner struggle to give in to those things, to those attitudes, to those places of mind and heart that are displeasing to God. We resist them. We fight against them with God's help. And we find strength in others' experience. When you look at the news sometimes, it can look as if the world is just consumed by evil. But that's never the full story, church. There are amazing people out there doing good. There are amazing men and women serving, protecting, loving, working towards what's right. And we can never lose sight that God always is doing something. God is always finding a way to win and to glorify his name. And we can't buy that false narrative that it's only darkness and evil. That is never the full story. And we stand firm trusting that God's strength and renewal will come. That the battle won't last forever. But if we just stick it out, strength and help will come. And so there's some ideas about how to fight the spiritual battle. But Jesus said, you got to watch out for the thief, but here's something even more important. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And today, church, maybe we've been letting the thief rob us, destroy, and kill the good life that God has for us. And today, I want to challenge you to reclaim it. I want to challenge you to go back to Christ and to say, you are the door. You are the path. Through you is good life. And I want to follow you and trust you and be led by you till I get to a better place. One author said this, Jesus is right. It's not the Christian doctrine of heaven that's the myth, but the humanist dream of utopia. And what he's saying there is he's saying at the end of the day, that good life that you're looking for, those better days that you're hoping for, we can put our hope in all the wrong places. It's not going to come from this world. It's got to come from another. And it comes from Jesus Christ himself. He brings that life. And so today I want to give you a prayer, a way to pray this week that I think will help you and will help me to connect to Jesus as the door to this in each of our lives. It comes from Richard Foster's book on prayer, and it's called The Prayer of Relinquishment. And this is a way for you and me to pray this week so that we can begin to enter in to this abundant life that Jesus is talking about. And this prayer of relinquishment or surrender could be another term that we use. It first begins by praying this. Jesus, would you just empty me of everything that's unpleasing and dishonoring to you? And we begin to just ask God, we invite him into our hearts. If there is fear, if there is hatred, if there is anger, if there is an unhealthy anxiety, God, would you just empty me of all those things? We begin to just pray that prayer of emptying. Then we pray the prayer of surrender. See, you will never be led to the good life that Jesus has for you and for me until you surrender your plans to him. Until we learn to say that prayer, not my will, but your will be done. When we all begin to embrace that prayer, we will move towards better days. It's hard. It's hard for me to pray that because I want to control God. I want to direct him. I want to pray, God, my will be done and yours too, if it fits into mine. But the real prayer is, God, your will be done no matter what. My will has to become your will. And it's a prayer of surrender. Then we pray the prayer of abandonment. And that's where we just throw ourselves into the arms of God. And we say, God, I'm just throwing myself into your goodness and your love, and I'm trusting you. This is kind of like a trust fall moment where you just lean back and you're like, oh, I hope they catch me. That's the prayer of abandonment. You're saying, God, I'm putting all my hopes, all my dreams, I'm putting all my eggs in this basket because you're trustworthy. And I'm abandoning everything into your hands. Then we pray the prayer of release. And that's where we begin to name specific things that we're just releasing to God because some things are harder to give up than others. Maybe there's a dream that we're just clinging to and we just need to release it to God. Maybe we're just really worried about a relationship, our spouse, or our kids, and we're so consumed with trying to have a sense of control over the outcomes of their lives, and we just need to release it to God. Maybe all the financial questions and issues in our life just consume our soul, and we just need to release our financial future to God and say, I trust you with it. Guide me. I'm not going to try to control it. I'm not going to drive myself insane. I'm going to trust you to it. And then we say the prayer of resurrection. And that's where we say, now, God, I've given my whole life to you. Now you resurrect what you want in my life because I believe you know the way to the good life. Have you ever prayed for something so desperately? And at that season in your life, you wanted God to answer it more than any other prayer. And now you've grown up more and you're 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years from that prayer. And you look back and now you say, thank you, God, that you did not answer that prayer. I have some of those. I bet many of you do as well. And this is the moment where we say to God, now, God, just bring back to life in me what you want. Let your will be done. You lead me. You guide me. You take control of my life. Because at the end of the day, church, I believe that's what this passage is all about. Will you and will I truly give everything that we are and trust it to the leadership and the care of Jesus Christ? If we will, we will experience better days. If not, then we will likely give room to the thief to rob, to destroy, and to kill the good gifts that God has for us. One of my favorite stories in history is about Lucius Cincinnatus. The city Cincinnati is named after him, and he was a Roman senator about 450 years before Jesus. And he had kind of gotten old, but he was a wise and respected leader, and he had sort of retired from public life and was just content to work his farm. And one day, Roman delegates from the Senate came to him, and they said, Cincinnatus, we need you. We need your leadership. Rome is in a terrible spot, and we need someone to lead the army and to defend the city. And he said, all right, I'm willing to do it. And he put on his toga, and he got to work, and he led the Roman army to a great and important victory. And at that moment, he had complete power in Rome. And he could have did whatever he wanted. He could have held on to that power, and he could have used it, and he could have abused it, or he could have just used it for his own gain. But as soon as he won that victory and secured the city, guess where he went? He went back to his little farm, and he gave it all up. And history remembers him not for the greatness of the power that he achieved, but the fact that he gave it all up. Because one of the most difficult things in this life is that fight for power. And power is intoxicating. And the more you get, the harder it is to give it up. But he did this remarkable thing, and he gave it up. And I think in every one of our hearts, there is a battle for power. Who are we going to trust to lead our life? Who are we going to trust to guide us? Who are we going to look to? Whose pleasure are we really seeking? Whose glory do we really care about? And what I want to challenge you and challenge me to do today is to give up the power of leading our own lives. Take it out of our hands and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, because only he is trustworthy with it. Only he can lead you and lead me to better days. And if you trust him with everything, he will never fail you or forsake you. And no one else is trustworthy with the direction of your life other than him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the great shepherd. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life. And now, Lord, we just humble ourselves. We open our hearts and we say, Lord, lead us, guide us, be our shepherd. We are your sheep, and lead us to better days. Father, I pray specifically for anyone who's listening today and they have never committed their life to you. They've just never drawn that line in the sand and said, I want you to lead me. I give my life to you. They've never relinquished the control of their souls. And if that's you today, I just want you to pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I invite you to be the shepherd of my soul, to lead me, to guide me, to help me. I invite you into my life. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your mercy, your grace. And I pray that you would lead me to a life and to an abundant life where your goodness and your mercy follow and change it. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, thank you guys for joining us. We pray that you guys were blessed by what you just experienced. We'll see you guys next week.